Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
So 2 weeks ago, I talked about three different types of protection. Last week, I talked about protection, praying for one another for protecting. You know, Psalm 121, one of my favorite passages of scripture, it kind of goes like this. Who do I go to in times of trouble? Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Every time I get in trouble, I go to the one who created everything. He is my first resort. Problem is, many times when we find ourselves in trouble, we do everything that we possibly can on our own strength to get ourselves out of trouble. And then when we can't find our way out or it's impossible, then we go to God. Well, Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says that we should be his first resort when it comes to that. So as I end, if there's something you're going to grasp about protection, I'm hoping it will be what I'm going to talk about this morning. And it stems from the fact that Jesus prayed for you and for us. He prays for the disciples. It's found in John chapter 17. If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, you can look on John chapter 17. I'm going to be starting at verse 11. It's called the High Priestly Prayer or the Farewell Prayer. Of all the things and prayers that Jesus has, this is by far the longest prayer in all of the Gospels. It's at the end of his ministries where he is telling the disciples, listen, I'm going, but the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to be with you. But as he ends and winds this up, he goes into prayer and he has a very special prayer. And as we talk about protection, keep that in mind as we kind of read along in John chapter 17, verse 11. It says this, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them. Here's that word. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they will be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them. There it is again. And kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they're not of this world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by thy truth, or the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. The passage goes on to say in the next two verses, my prayer is not for them alone, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us, folks. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. What a powerful, powerful passage of scripture. Now think of this again. He prays for his disciples. And when we think about the disciples, all of them died as martyrs. You almost might say, well, hold on, did this prayer not come true? Well, the prayer did come true. I believe that God did protect them as they did ministry. But when Jesus talks about following him, he says, you know what? If you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you. It's going to be costing you absolutely everything. You have to take up your cross daily and follow me. You need to follow me with all of your heart. There's going to be good times and hard times, but within that, God is going to move. When you accept Jesus, you don't get this little bubble that comes over you and you float in that bubble until you come to the end of the life and the bubble pops and you magically make it into heaven. That's not what the scriptures say, is it? But the Bible does say that he does protect us as we follow him with all of our lives. Now, the NIV says the word protect. But those of you who perhaps were reading along in the King James Version has a different word. It's called keep. So when NIV said protect, the King James Version said keep. And you're saying, well, what's the difference between one and the other? They seem to be a little bit different. Well, the word pterason or pteraison is the Greek word. It's kind of a military term. If you use it in form of perhaps a noun, pteros, it means a guard. So basically what he is saying, he's talking about keeping. And if you look at your scriptures and if you know your scriptures, you will realize that there is so much in the Bible that talks about the keeping power of God. It is powerful and it is impactful. And the issue about the keeping power of God is this. When Jesus or when anyone talks about the keeping power of God, he's talking about your destiny. It's talking about the aspect of why you were born to be who you were, the purpose that you serve, the reason that you are, the reason that your heart is beating right now. That's when he begins to talk about the keeping power of God, because it talks about your destiny. It talks about the fact that God has something for everyone and all of us. Like Isaiah chapter 23, verse 6 says, he will keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind or his heart is stayed on you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, when Peter's talking, he basically says this. He says, through faith you are shielded by God, God's power, until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. What's Peter saying? There is a divine protection that God wants to protect you to the point where you are presented before God. And if there's anything that Peter was trying to say, is that there is an incredible, profound security in the protection of God. But he's talking in a spiritual sense, which is important for us to understand. And when it begins to talk about the keeping power of God, you have to ask yourself an important question. What is he talking about when he's talking about the keeping power of God? I know that there are probably a number of things, but there are three that actually stick out. And if you give me a few minutes, let me just kind of expound a little bit on them. First thing is this. When they talk about the keeping power of God, it is talking about keeping you from Satan or satanic work. In John chapter 17, he says, I am going to pray that they will be kept protected from, it says, the evil one. Well, of course, we know that to be Satan. And what Jesus is actually doing is he is declaring or acknowledging the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, you listen to Paul as he ends the book to Ephesians. He talks about the fact that, hey, our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness and in high places. We're in a spiritual battle. There's a destiny that God has for you, but many times it's obstructed by the fact that there is an evil entity that doesn't want you to get there, doesn't want you affecting his kingdom. And so many times when we think of satanic attack or the evil one, there is a group of people that will conjure up the thought that there is somebody in a red suit with a tail and horns and a pitchfork kind of running around causing evil to happen and violence or whatever, or seances or levitation or demon possession. And the Bible does talk about people who have demons and things like that. I don't want to totally cast that away, because there is demonic possession and things that happen in the world. But by far, if you take a look at the scriptures, particularly John verse 10, chapter 10, verse 10, he says this, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But then he says, I come that you might have life to the full. And so when Jesus talks about protection from the evil one, he's talking about the fact that he wants you to have life. He wants to keep you from that person who will steal that. And by far the most concentrated damage that Satan focuses on is to keep you from fulfilling that destiny. That God has a job, has a plan for your life, and he's wanting to do everything he can. And he doesn't do it loudly. Many times he does it subtly. Many times he does it unnoticed. And many times if the devil does work, often he will work in darkness. He'll work in dark corners of our lives, areas where we have unforgiveness and areas that we have bitterness and areas that we have anger, any area that is ungiven or unsacrificed or just not surrendered to the Lord becomes the workshop that Satan has to somehow get his foot in the door of our lives. And so There's an important thing to observe. He kind of works through the lies, and he doesn't work through one big stabbing motion. He'll kill you with 1,000 cuts. He'll work through you through different individuals, through lies, through half-truths, through untruths, through impatience, through misplaced goals, a whole bunch of things. And so what happens is Satan has a work, and God says, you know what? I want to protect you from the evil one. You know, the one way that you can be, that if you don't want to be affected by the Satan is to not do anything, because Satan will not attack anybody who's not doing anything for God. Why would he want to destroy someone who is being self-destructive by not really serving him? So the first one, the first keeping power is from the evil one. There's a second one. You find it in the book of Jude, verse 24. And Jude says it like this, okay? Is Jude the second last book of the Bible? Jude, yes. Verse 24. He says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. The second thing that God's keeping power to do is to keep you from stumbling. Not only does not God want you to fulfill your destiny, but he also wants you to make your destination. He wants you to get to the place where he wants the ultimate place to be with him throughout eternity. And so what he does is he guides you through persecution and through doubt and through not understanding and discouragement and distraction and the misplaced ambition. And God wants you to complete the journey. The question I have for you today is, are you in danger of not completing the journey? Are you in danger of missing the destination? Have you kind of got along somewhere along the way where you just said, I'm just going to give up. I'm not too sure what's happening. Everything is taking place. My world is falling down for me. I haven't seen God for a little while now. And for some reason, I just don't think that he's here. And I'm just deciding to kind of pack it in. How many times have you seen people where you said, hey, where's John or where's Peter or whatever? Remember him? He sat in the front row all the time. He was really passionate for God. And yeah, he was all the time. Well, what happened? Well, he's not here. Well, what happened? He just decided to pack it in. Something happened. Someone said something in the church, got offended. Something had taken place. He got himself into the particular, and all of a sudden, he's not serving the Lord. That bothers. Does that not bother you when you see things like that? People who are passionately serving the Lord, not serving the Lord, are hardly serving the Lord. I believe that there's something about the keeping power of God that keeps us from stumbling. As you draw close to him, there is a confidence that we have that God is wanting to keep you from falling. He's trying to prevent you from all of that. For a world that is very difficult, there is a God who desires to hold us. Have you ever considered that? I remember a few years ago, prior to coming here, we were trying to start up small groups, and the only one that was available to do one small group was me, and it was the Young Mothers small group. So here I was, Mr. 48 years old or whatever age I was at the time, and I was doing the Young Moms small group. Well, I learned a lot about young moms, and it was an incredible small group. There was almost a miracle every time that we met. But the one thing that I had learned about families and young moms and particularly mothers is that a lot of them live with the pressure or the thought that they are one crisis from it all falling apart. And many of the young moms felt like they were living without a safety net. You know what I mean by that? All of a sudden, if one bill doesn't come in, if someone gets fired, if the kids get sick, if this takes place, my life is going to fall apart. And a number of them were living on that edge. I find a lot of us are living on the edge. One bad thing from happening, one tragedy from taking place. In the process, God says in his word, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. The loving God that we have. To keep us from satanic influence, to keep us from stumbling. And the one that perhaps we miss, and something which is so profoundly true for us, is that he keeps us from separation. Let me go back to that passage of scripture. I don't want to sit there and read the scripture and then not even refer to the scripture again. When Jesus prays for the disciples. He says something special. God, I just pray you keep them from the evil one. But he goes on from there and he says this, so that they will be one, like you, like all of us are one. He's basically comparing the church and the unity of the church with the Trinity of God. What a profound thought. He doesn't want you to be separated. He doesn't want you to be on your own. You were never meant to be an island unto yourself. And he doesn't want you to be separated from the body of Christ that works in unity together. And not only that, he doesn't want you to be separated from the love of God, which is so incredibly, incredibly true for our hearts and for our lives. And he wants to keep us because there is a divine ambition behind your life, that you weren't created for no reason, that you weren't here because some fluke had taken place, that God didn't make extra people and then thought, well, okay, these are the ones I like better, the other ones you're kind of on your own. That's not the way it is. Every single person was created for a distinct value and for a distinct purpose, and you are needed and you are part of the story if you choose and want to be. And I think if this was ever important, it is a time when we take a look at COVID-19 pandemic in us, and the first thing that they do when we are in the midst of a pandemic, they say this, we're going to have to separate you. And all of a sudden, we begin to feel the results of separation from each other. But it didn't start with COVID-19 because our culture has kind of said, hey, I'm going to do it myself. I'm a cowboy. I didn't do it myself. I don't need anybody to help me. And our movies and everything that we do basically tell us that we can kind of do this on ourselves. Either that or we have believed this lie that said, I'm different. I'm different from everybody else. I've always thought that I was different and I've just been nothing but different. And oh, I know half of my ministry, I battled the thought that I was different than other ministries, other ministers. There was just something inside of me that felt somehow separated. And I don't think that God has ever wanted us to feel that way. Like there's that passage of scripture in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. It's a benediction. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you, it says. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That there's a promise that you are involved, that you are a part of the process. And if you think you're not part of the process, then you have believed a lie. You believed a lie. Nothing mentions this better and as a greater example than Romans chapter 8. Now, those of you who are kind of just young in the Word, and maybe you're just kind of figuring this out, one of the most powerful passages that you will read is Romans chapter 8. You start Romans chapter 8 and it says, now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not only that, it goes on to say, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. That passage of scripture is in there. Also in Romans chapter 8, it says, we know that all good things work to good for those who are called according to his good purpose. Not only that, Romans 8 has the passage of scripture. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Not only that, Romans 8 says that we are more than conquerors for those who have loved us, are called according to his purpose. It's a wonderful passage of scripture that almost pale with the way Romans chapter 8 ends. This is what Romans chapter 8 says as it ends this particular chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, not anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is going to keep you from separation because you were always meant to be a part. You're always meant to be part of the body of Christ. You're always meant to be part of his kingdom. You can never forget that. It is of ultimate importance. So whether you're here and you've gotten lost in the shuffle or you've gotten lost in the crowd or you've gotten lost in the busyness of it all, it's not God's intention for you to be separated. And if you're separated by loneliness and isolation, it's a lie from Satan. And all of a sudden, when you're in that loneliness, it breeds helplessness and hopelessness. But there's never helplessness and hopelessness when God is around. That there is the idea that you are included, to feel secure and valued in God. Peter calls it a living hope. You're part of a living hope. Didn't include this in the first service. Hey, this is free. Saw a documentary last week about an individual who's called the Tuxedo King in New York. And there's a documentary about what had happened to him in the 90s. And he was doing quite well. He was a humble millionaire. But someone from the company decided, hey, maybe we can get a ransom from him. So they captured him and they threw him in a hole in New York for what ended up being 13 days. Could you imagine that? 13 days in a hole with a big board covered over it. And eventually he got rescued. And it talked about the process of recovery was phenomenal with him. And as I watched that and kind of thought how terrible that would be, I've often thought, sometimes I found myself in that hole spiritually. Have you? I just can't seem to shake it off. God, where are you in the whole process? I just don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. I don't understand what's taking place. I feel different somehow in some way. Does anyone really understand what I'm going through? Oh, there's a God who's with you all the way. He cares about you and he desires to keep you. I had a devotional that I was reading. I think Mark Batterson was the author of it. It tells the story of two ornithologists, that's the term. The ornithologists are the ones who kind of deal with birds. These people were from England and they found this particular island that was outside of the shores of Wales. And what they did is they found these birds and they took the birds from their mother in the nest, and the one they flew all the way to Venice. And they dropped this, they released this bird, they tagged the bird to find out what would happen to this bird. And 341 days later, that bird found its way, a 1,000-mile trip back to this nest in the outside of Wales. So what they did is they had these other two birds, they put them in a box. Again, like, why would they put them in the box? Were they kind of afraid that they would cheat somehow in some way? They put them in this box and they put them in a train to England and from England, from London, and from London they flew them to Boston. And along the route, one of the birds died. But they let the other bird go. AX6584, that was the name of the bird. Come on, call him Sally. Call him Gertrude, I don't know, give him a name. But anyways, 12 days, 12 hours, the bird makes it back. He began to talk about a thing which is called the homing instinct. It's a number of animals that may have it, but these birds particularly that they found have this thing called the homing instinct. When we stop to consider that, we may not realize it, but you have been hardwired to have a homing instinct. It's one of your earliest memories is of a God who created you and desires to hold you. Somehow, in some way, I think it was St. Augustine which said that we were made for you, and our lives are restless until they find rest in you. Blaise Pascal in the 17th century said, there is a God-shaped hole in every human that can only be filled by God. Pope Francis basically called it a nostalgia for God. Why is that? Why is it true? Because we are stamped in his image. That we are from his nest. That he desires to bless us. That he desires to hold on to us. I've heard the story of the prodigal son who disowned his dad all of a sudden to find out that he needed to be blessed by him. That there was a holy homesickness that had come. And here's this person all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere not knowing what to do. And there's a thought that says, I just need to go back home. Somewhere along the way, I need to get back to where I need to be. And many times, in the wonderfulness of this story, we forget some very important things. And the one is this. That when the prodigal son returns, it's the father that runs to him. Not him that runs to the father. It's the father who has the party for the son. Whether they deserved it or not is not the fact. That's the thing with the grace of God. God desires to hold you. He desires to keep you, to make a difference in your life. It is Psalm 9:10, which says this, "Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." In the last 3 weeks, I said a lot of things about protection. But if you have to keep one thing in mind, keep it. The fact that there's a God who desires to hold you. Whatever situation you are, as you leave this morning, I have good news. God wants to hold you. Do you want to be held by him? I don't know where everyone stands. If you're here, you don't know Jesus, you can leave this place knowing him. We serve a wonderful God, amen? Father, I just pray that you do a deep work in us. I pray, Father, that you will flow by your spirit. I'm not too sure what everyone is going through, what's happening. Many of us are affected by this pandemic. But in the process of that, nothing will be able to separate us from you. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. That you are a God that desires to hold us. And I pray, Father, that as we leave this day, Father, we will sense the holding power of God. But not only that, Father, that we will tell others that you will hold them as well. Help us to make a difference for you. Move in a powerful way, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.